Hey everyone, welcome to our workshop on publications. We're going to have three speakers, and then after the speakers are finished, we're going to have a panel discussion and question and answer session with our speakers, as well as the editors-in-chief of ASHS Publications. So our first speaker is Dr. Amy Fulcher.
Thank you, Laura. And first, I want to say thank you not only to Laura, but the rest of the group. It's definitely an honor to be here and certainly an honor to be speaking with the rest of, to have been chosen and be grouped in with the rest of the people that were selected, some of my heroes, fellow speakers. So thank you. I decided not to have a PowerPoint and just kind of talk to you all, but I didn't realize till I got here that I guess we don't have lapel mics, so it's a little different. And I'm not sure that I can take this with me, so not exactly the effect I was. Going for. And I don't know how much I can move this without making it complicated for the next person, so I don't want to. Here, let me get that one real quick. And then I think I can at least move to the side and not be so separated from you all. First thing I wanted to say is sort of a disclaimer, and I'm glad that I'm not the only one speaking. It's important to get a lot of people's perspectives on this, and you're going to hear just my perspective, and it may or may not be a good model to use for you, but I hope I can share something that will be helpful. And I have to be at the Extension Luncheon at 12:30, so I'm going to step away. I really hate to miss the rest of the speakers and the information that's going to be shared. But if you Google Amy Fulcher, University of Tennessee, you can get my email and phone number very easily if we don't get the chance to catch up at some point if you have a question. So I was thinking, yep, writing is important. That's why we're having this session, and that's an understatement. And you've probably been told this before, those of you that are graduate students, but probably not much else will matter if you don't do enough publishing, just like not much else will matter if you don't get enough grants. So it's good that we're having this session. And productivity in writing is very important, and efficiency in writing then becomes very important. I worked full-time when I was also earning my PhD, so I felt very accustomed to long hours, hard work, not really having a social life, you know, kind of turning off different parts of my life to accommodate what I was trying to accomplish professionally. And even still, I don't think I had a good appreciation of what it would take to do the level of publishing I felt that I needed to do as an assistant professor. I think that even though you are probably all very good time managers and very self-disciplined, there are some things that you perhaps have not considered that can help you. So my as I've talked with people, this is common. My thought was, okay, I'm going to get this block of time on Thursday, and that's when I'm going to write. And then there's students with urgent questions that are also important that you don't feel like you can just say, sorry, figure all that out by yourself, even though it's your second week here or whatever, you know. That elusive window of time evaporated again and again. That was a very eye-opening to me, that I really felt a little bit not in control of my time because we have multiple responsibilities. And writing seems like something you want to just sit down and do it for a while. You know, you don't want to write for 5 minutes. You want to get something done. You want to get stuff on paper. So that, you know, a block of time was very appealing. So something that was truly shaped my career was joining a writing group. So I owe that to Sarah White at Clemson University. She asked me to be her writing buddy. She had been in a writing group previously as a student. So she and I were writing buddies, and then we added a few more people and we had a writing group. And that was critical to my publishing success. because I had no idea really what it would take, in spite of being a very hard worker and putting in long hours, to get the publications that I needed. So I would recommend considering starting or joining a writing group. It's important that they are, that the writing group is composed of your peers. In my opinion, they should be your peers, people who are at their same stage of either student writing or writing as a faculty member. And they need to be people you're really comfortable with, people you trust, because you will not always succeed. You will set writing goals that you will fail to meet, and you have to kind of own up to that. That's a big, accountability is a big part of the benefits that you get out of a writing group. So how they are, I turned off the lock on this. Let's see. Okay. So how your writing group is composed is important, and I think it can be beneficial to have people in your field that appreciate kind of the nuances and challenges of publishing in your journals, but they don't have to be at your institution. There could be a lot of advantages to them not being at your institution. One very interesting statistic that I found about writing groups early on is that you are 9 times more productive as a writer if you set a daily writing goal and you have a writing group that you are accountable for. So 9 times more productive. I'm not sure how. I'm going to give you the numbers here in a minute so you can see how that translates in my case, but it made a huge impact for me, like I said. So what does being accountable mean? Well, we would have monthly conference calls. We still do, although I think we're more of like a self-help group for associate professors at this point, like how to not get burnout. And so the nature of our meetings has changed. We still talk about our writing, and we laugh about kind of our lack of writing because we are in a different place than we were. But we all feel, we've talked about this many times, that the writing group propelled us to where we are now. So even though we're not using it in the same way now, I still highly recommend it for students and for assistant professors especially. So I started to say, what does accountability mean? We would have monthly conference calls. We would schedule them. We would talk about our writing goals for the coming month. We would talk, did we meet the previous month's writing goals? As a group, we agreed we would write 15 minutes, each of us would write 15 minutes a day, and 5 days a week for some of us. Some of us decided it's going to be 7 days a week. Some of us decided, in my case, it had to be a refereed journal article or an extension publication or popular press. Writing a report does not count. In my view is, if there's a deadline for it, it kind of doesn't count. Because you have that external factor pushing you towards that. So like a grant proposal or a report, you tend to make time for those things because there's a deadline coming at you. We also had self-imposed fines. So any day that we didn't write 15 minutes, we had a $15 fine. So we are a whole bunch of really mean bean counters, and I hope none of us go in administration because it's a little scary. One of our members, who's fairly politically involved, decided as an additional motivation, my $15 is going to go to the opposing political party. So because I'm like, oh, I'm giving to the food bank. And we did Heifer International. Like, we bought a camel for a community 1 year with our combined writing fines. That doesn't have the same effect as if you have to give to someone you really, really dislike. So think about how to use that to your best advantage. My personal goal was not just write 15 minutes, but write 400 minutes a week. That was a pretty solid week for writing for me and manageable. So in one of the years that we were highly active using the working group as intended, like I'm describing to you, I wrote, just to give you an idea, even though my target was 15 minutes a day, I wrote 652 minutes a week on average. I wrote about 26,100 minutes that year. So that's a lot of minutes. Hopefully I got a lot out of those minutes. And I'm going to talk about that. but there's something I'm pretty sure I skipped over. No? We'll get to it then. Okay. So to kind of see how, put some numbers to how the writing group was kind of impacted me, helped me be productive. I was hired in November of 2010. I had not published a paper from my PhD at that point, and I had graduated several months earlier. I asked for 6 months to try to sell our house because the recession was still affecting housing sales where we lived. So in 2011 then, I published two papers, one in ACTA and one in a refereed journal that I'm very proud of, but kind of sort of only one because the ACTA thing was like, you know, like 5 years ago and then it finally got published. That doesn't count. I had already written it when I wasn't even at Tennessee, so that didn't really count. But for 2012, 13, 14, and 15, which was when our writing group was most active and focused in the way that I've described, I published five refereed papers, that were refereed in journals, ASHS journals, and I think Scientia in those years. And then in 2016, where I have backed off tracking my minutes and finding myself, I wrote three pubs. And that's just the refereed writing. So, of course, there are extension pubs and so forth. But I'm 75% extension. I'm 25% research. So at some point I thought, do I want to publish five refereed articles every year? Is that really, do I want to keep working till 2 a.m? Because that's what I found. Joining the writing group, tracking my time, having the 15-minute obligation, it happened at midnight and later. That's what it took. That's what I learned from it. It was not going to happen during this wonderful window of block of time during the day. No one was emailing me by that point. It was quiet at home by that point. And the way the 15 minutes work, in my opinion, there are two benefits of this deal. One is you end up writing more than 15 minutes, which, you know, my math shows you. Once you get going, and at that time of day, without external factors stopping you, you can keep on going. That doesn't mean it's the best time of day for everyone. But for me, that's part of the benefit of it. The other really strong benefit, I believe, out of writing every day, even if it's just 15 minutes, is it never goes dormant in your mind. And for those of you that are students, you may feel like, what are you talking about? Because you guys are so immersed in what you do. But once you have students, and then maybe you have your own little project that you're doing with your technician, and you're balancing multiple papers, this paper that you meant to get to this week, it can easily be 3 weeks before you really get a chance to sit down and look at it again. When you're going to conferences and you're on the road giving extension talks, and long, long days in the field out of town. So those two things are the real benefits towards the productivity, I believe. So you're not having to restart every time you look at that paper, and you're keeping it going every day. So those are benefits. Some of what I've said isn't necessarily productivity. It's just you have to work that much harder. You have to put in that many more hours on top of what you already thought was probably a pretty long day, and probably was. There are some other productivity tips that I want to share with you all, and I've had varying levels of success with these, but what works for one person or doesn't, you know, can have the opposite effect with someone else. So I think they're worthy of passing on. And to kind of kick that off, I want to say where we got the 15 minutes a day and the accountability was from Megan McIntosh, and she's coined the term the PhD of productivity. She was a classroom teacher. She was a university professor. And she has free and pay-for materials and resources and seminars. She has lots of mailing lists that are free where she has weekly tips on writing productivity. She has little videos on writing productivity and time management in general. So that is a good resource. I would check out her website. I also would say if you want to write on Thursday from 1 to 4, the step one would be schedule it on your calendar. And even if you schedule it, you can incur some of the challenges that I experience, that we all experience. you can take it to another level then by having a writing buddy that you schedule that time with, and you two write in a third place, or you write alone in a third place. And if you guys haven't explored the opportunities that your library has for you, you may be able to have a room assigned to you there where you keep the resources you need for the whatever pub you're wanting to prioritize your writing time on at that time, and you go there at lunch every day, or you go there every Tuesday for 4 hours, or you go there every day for 15 minutes and end up staying longer, you know. But interruptions are one of the big barriers to keeping your writing time going. So a third place can be very helpful. And just like with exercise, the writing buddy, you're more likely to exercise if you have someone that is counting on you to show up. We're going for this walk. We're going to this class together. We're going to write together. Another productivity tip that I wanted to pass on also came from Ted Whitwell via Sarah, and that was to get three things out of every piece of content you have. So have the refereed version, then have the extension pub version, and then have the popular press version of that content. It doesn't always work out that way, but if you can start to think that way, you'll be able to capitalize on those opportunities when they come up. I wanted to talk a little bit about book chapters, because I've written a fair number of book chapters. Sometimes I tell myself, you've written your last book chapter. You do not need to write any more book chapters. Remember Blueberry? Just think about Blueberry for a while. I might have one more in me, but and others can share their experience with book chapters, but there are a couple of things, you know, I kind of proceed with caution, because no matter how well you know that subject, it is going to take you a long time to put a book chapter's worth of material together. And book chapters go in books which have other chapters with other authors who may not be as motivated or as self-disciplined as you. You can have hang-ups with the editors. So they don't always get published. They often don't get published on the time frame that was originally presented, in my experience. So if you're really counting on getting credit for that time invested in writing, it may not happen as fast as you were counting on it to. So it's something to keep in mind. They're highly, highly worthy endeavors and can lead to a lot of publications. Your publication being cited is what I'm trying to say. But you'll put a lot of time into a book chapter. Very slow process. Some people would argue it's going to be your cheapest thing you ever publish, though. You don't have to do any experiments. You don't have to pay for students. You know, there are trade-offs. I've got 7 minutes left, and I have one other thing that I want to share, and then we'll see if there's time. I had kind of this extra little bit that when I practiced, it seemed like I had time for it. But before we get to that, one thing that you might start thinking about now is, do I publish everything I have data for? So there are completers in the audience, for those of you that have seen The Big Chill, and I know there are some people that would have seen The Big Chill in here, and others are like, what are you talking about? That old movie, there are completers that have to finish things. You know, well, we have all this data, so we have to publish it. And some experiments lend themselves to voluminous amounts of data. And that can be tricky because, like, I learned a lot of things this way, the hard way, that you really only have so much time. Like, you can only stay up till 3 in the morning so many years or whatever. So you do get to a point where you have to pick and choose. Some people will say, if you can't publish everything you're doing too much. And that may be the case in that field or for the type of data that's collected by those experiments. But I think a lot of people in the room are going to end up with more data than they can publish. So you might think about, when do I say no do I publish my 15th, and I'm using a writing group member's example, my 15th substrate paper? Because of the nature of that research, with one student, she'd easily have five papers if she chose that path. So you got to think about how do I best spend my time, and when I'm trying to transition into a new area, you have to kind of give yourself permission to say, I'm done publishing in IPM because I'm working on water. Even though that leaves something undone, that's okay. I think that because I have to step out, I'm going to stop there. I have a little bit more I was going to share about some success that a working group I'm part of has had with writing productivity. But it will be in an upcoming issue of Hort Technology, so I'll just let you know that it's there. And it is based on the Nursery Crops Working Group workshop from last year. So if you'd like to keep an eye out for that, but that was similar to the writing group. We really had a synergy and were able to divide and conquer and be very productive and publish some things we're very, very proud of by working together, and much more so than we were able to do alone. Are there any questions? Yes, sir? What was the name of the person that publishes weekly writing tips? Megan McIntosh, and she goes by the PhD of Productivity. Other questions? Yes. My student wants to ask that question. I don't have good advice for that. It's a problem. She and I had this conversation this morning. She's getting ready to wrap up her last experiment. She's going to be able to be laser focused on writing. She already is. And she's going to have two or three people that poke around, and then James, her honor committee, is a machine, and he'll be like done in 2 days. But it is a challenge, and I don't know. I had a former department head who said, you can't motivate faculty members. You can't motivate full faculty members. That was he'd say this, walk up and down the hall saying this. But it's true, it's a real challenge because they're pulled in a million directions, and that paper means a whole lot to you, and they may have varying levels of incentives for what might come of that work. I don't think there's an issue with hiring someone to read and give you suggestions. I would be leery about getting into where they are actively making changes themselves, I guess. But those may be questions other speakers can have better answers to and have more experience with, but I can appreciate the situation with the slow committee. That is great advice. And for the sake of the recording, I'm just going to say the advice was don't give up. Keep regularly communicating with your advisor that you're waiting, and try to get the paper in as best shape as you can through working with committee members. And actually, Nostran and I had that conversation too. The fewer times it's got to go back and forth, the better off you are. So take the time, even though this might be the first draft, take the time to polish it, because everything that's not quite right can be a distraction to certain reviewers. Certain committee members will get hung up that the units aren't the way this journal is going to want them, even though this is the very first draft. So just get it as close to what you think the final form should be from the beginning. I would have had a hard time taking that advice as a student, but seeing it from the other side now, I think it helps move things along. Thank you all very, very much for having me. It really, truly is an honor.